Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actual takeaways that you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing maestro just starting out, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level. Hello, Marianne. Hello. Today we are talking about one of our favorite topics. I'm excited for us to get to chat about it, but we are talking about sales content and actually mapping content that we create to the buyer's journey and everything that goes along with that, which is a lot.
Yes. No, I do love this conversation because so many business leaders have a different conversation with sales than they do with marketing when they're talking about their buyer's journey. So I love that we can kind of talk about it today.
Yes. And I think the first thing that we should do to start this conversation is really talking about, I mean, kind of putting the two together, right? Like marketing and sales and how those two things, like how content we can create could be basically for both dual purpose, like how we can use the marketing content we're creating or the sales enablement we're creating and kind of combine that and be dual purpose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think helping salespeople realize that really just the buyer's journey, right? The awareness, consideration, and decision stage and how people funnel through that and how that content differs, like what type of content is in the awareness versus consideration and decision stage of that funnel. And having salespeople understand that that decision stage is really where they're most involved.
Right.
And what they, that content is what they should be focusing on using in their sales process outside of what their prospects are consuming on their own.
Yes, I agree. And I'm even thinking like, as you're talking, I'm thinking about all of the sales enablement, or I mean, I say sales enablement, it's kind of like a fancy way of saying like, anything that we would provide to sales, right? To like arm them is like kind of the word I always go with is like, you know, they're sending, they're using, they're talking, like those one sheets, the presentations, the proposals. And how can we actually take what they're using and turn it into, I'm like almost thinking the reverse.
Opposite. Turn it into content in the marketing.
Like lead generating. Like I was just thinking of like, you know, some clients that we've done like media kits for that, you know, their sellers are using the media kits to go out and sell, but then we put it on their website. We generate leads with
Yes. Or product demos, you know, yes. That's something that salespeople are using and they're using for that same decision phase. Like why not put it on the website, use this marketing? I love that. Okay. Right. Maybe we should, let's talk about types of content. Cause I think this has changed.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's changed over the years. What type of content is best for educating at different at each stage. So maybe we should back up and start with awareness. What do you think is kind of the best content to for common problems and how B2B solutions fit in to that awareness stage of the journey?
I think, so like if I'm putting myself in the shoes of a decision maker really across the board, I think the first place a lot of us go is Google, right? Like that's where we're looking. We're looking on Google. So I think anything that would show up, and I say that because a lot of, so like eBooks, things that are gated behind a form are not going to show up in search.
Not gated content. Blog posts, landing pages.
Landing pages.
Infographics.
Pages. Infographics. Yeah. Things that are
SEO. Search engine optimized.
Yeah. I mean, even a video that has some good, you know, descriptor, they're using that description to describe what the video is about. But yeah, like I think those are that awareness stage, very top of the funnel.
And then consideration stage, when the prospect knows they have a problem, they're starting to consider solutions to that problem, not specific companies, but mm-hmm. if they're going to outsource, what those solutions would be, they're doing more research, they're more willing to trade their email, to take yes. a little bit more of a deep dive into learning more about whatever the problem is and educating themselves. So what would showcase experience and build trust for businesses there?
Yes. I mean, like, say it again for the people in the back, willing to trade their email address. I feel like that's such a big thing. Like, are you providing, you have to be sure that whatever it is in this stage is of equal value to them as their personal information.
And B2B is so different than B2C. This is not I pimp my cell phone number out to anybody. You'll give me a 10% discount. I'm always like, sure, take an extra 10% off. But this is not the same as that. This is not giving your email address for a B2C purchase a product, a discount code right off the bat. These people are trying to educate themselves. So you really do have to be considerate of what you're asking in your form for what they're trading. So I do think some of it is gated content. And I think some of it's not gated content. I think case studies shouldn't really be ever gated. And that would be something that would be used in a consideration stage. Yeah. What else? Just webinar,
potentially a webinar. Something where you're actually asking someone to come and sign up.
Podcast. Maybe you all are in the consideration stage right now.
Maybe they're listening. They're considering.
Maybe so.
Podcast. I mean, I think that is a good form of content that is used kind of in that middle ground where they're still unsure. And then, like, moving our way to that decision stage, I think having content that supports that, you know, final decision, them, you know, you against your competition, maybe having some one sheets that are actually describing, like, whether it's price that you sell off of, whether it's
your value prop. You got to be talking about that in your decision stage content. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think the decision stage content, like Marianne alluded to earlier, is like, that's what the salespeople are using in their sales process too, right? Like you, I mean, that's what we're arming them with. This is where they're, you know, really able to kind of to send that final, you know, one sheet that describes you and your value prop and who you are, those case studies that are, you know, very specific to you, your best customers, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Testimonials. And then I just think more money specific. I mean, at this point, you know, people are considering price. Usually in the decision stage, they're getting that proposal in front of them. So really discussing ROI and how much this is going to impact their business, and really the conversations that salespeople are having turned marketing content.
Yes. Yeah. And so when we think about, like, effectiveness, I feel like a lot of times, you know, clients are asking, you know, how do we know if it's working? How do we know if what we're, you know, giving our sales teams is working? Like, it's a little harder to track because it's, and I mean, my answer, I don't know what your answer is, Marianne. My answer is always, like, if the sales team is, like, asking them, right? Like, directly asking them I know Marianne and I talked about this in the past episodes. If you haven't listened, go listen. But asking them questions like, why are people saying no? Why are people saying yes to your proposals? Why are, you know, what are the objections you're hearing? And making sure that the content that you're giving them to use in their sales process aligns with those types of questions or objections, to make sure that you are, like, accurately, accurately writing things.
Yes, and FYI, that goes all the way back to, I mean, marketing needs that for marketing too, not just sales enablement. Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest mistake people can make is having a brainstorm with the CEO and a couple marketing executives. Like,
you'll never know it yourself.
You're not going to learn anything. You're going to get to share your ideas and kind of pump your chest about it. It is
the same thing that you've been thinking in your head for years too.
It's not so much fun to be able to actually get salespeople in the room. And salespeople, they're known for their personalities, right? I mean, sure, you're going to have to deal, you have personality management and something like that. You know, step in, step out, have some of the louder voices, know in advance that we are trying to hear from everyone. You know, there's some definite tactics you can bring into a brainstorm, but you've got to brainstorm with sales. They're the ones who are talking in with prospects every day, and you need to hear what they're hearing.
Yeah. Yes. And I think too, when we think about like staying ahead or like, you know, cause it can be easy to have the same content, the same tools that you're using over and over and over. I think it's important too, like if you're a seller out there and you're listening to this, or even like managers, you know, having kind of like an open line of communication for your sellers to like know they can come and ask for different resources, right? Like I think a lot of times sellers wish they had this one case study on this one industry, or wish they had this, but don't feel like it's like an attainable ask. So they just kind of like,
yes,
you know what I mean?
I do.
And I also think they don't know where to find it either. Like there's, you know,
this is old, or, you know.
Right. This isn't even applicable anymore. Well, let's make it applicable. How can we have some kind of, you know, like system or routine for updating this stuff or managing it? Like, where are we keeping it?
Also, if you have a good CRM, managers will know what their salespeople are using and sending and what's working, right? Yeah. If you're tracking your activity in your CRM and you're holding your salespeople accountable for it, you'll be able to have the transparency of seeing what content they're using, what's getting opens, what's getting responses, and what's not. So that can help, those analytics can help steer your sales enablement strategy.
Yes, that even makes me think about like the HubSpot documents tool and how in HubSpot you can actually upload documents for your team to access. Yes. You can have the documents at the ready. And then when your team uses the documents and sends them through the documents tool, you can actually see when someone opens it, when they click on it. It'll even show you like a heat map of how long they looked at a specific page. Like that just made me start thinking about like where are we keeping it? How are we seeing what's working? And I do think that utilizing some of those, you know, tools, automation, you know, having that kind of lead intelligence, all of those things do help.
Absolutely. And I mean, the reality is sales enablement content is very similar to marketing content, in that you really have to think about the prospect and the user and not you. It's not about what you want to say about your company. You've got to think about what questions are being asked, what problems there are, because in the B2B world, it's not one problem or question. B2C can be a lot more direct. They can be solving one problem in their buyer's journey. And with B2B, it's different than that. There's a lot of different problems and questions that they're asking. And so making sure that you have content to address each of those.
Yeah.
It's where you're going to see results.
Yeah.
And you're going to see salespeople using it.
Yeah. Mic drop. Go do that. So I think biggest takeaways here for using content, using it in the sales process, mapping the content you're creating to your buyer's journey would be asking sales, have a brainstorm with sales, really get their buy-in and understanding, and then have a way of storing or
updating,
having some kind of like routine in place that your salespeople know it's being looked at. It's not just in some G drive from 2005.
Yes.
You're supposed to still be using it. Like knowing that it was just looked at, you know, within the last 3 months is important.
Yes. Yes. I'm so glad you said that.
Okay, shall we do some Q&A?
Yes, I love this part. Let's do it. Read them to me.
All right. What would you tell someone whose company equips their sellers with sales enablement that's not as helpful as it could be? What advice would you give for updating and improving their sales enablement content?
I would tell them to listen to episode 4 of our podcast. I didn't want to feel like we already answered that, but that's what I would tell
them. That's what I would tell them. Go listen, rewind. That's funny. But I agree. And I think everything we've said is a perfect answer to this. And I think the biggest thing is just ask sales. Like I think sales has your insight. And I think having pointed, planned questions, you know, just saying to sales, like, what do you need? And they're like, I don't know. I don't think that that's helpful. Yeah. Having questions that are specific to stages of the buyer's journey. So for example, you know, awareness stage, ask sales directly, what is it that brings your prospect into the market to know there's a problem?
We should have a download for this, Emily. We have good questions for this. We do this all the time. We'll give you a download. We haven't created that yet, but I'm glad we're having this conversation because we can put that in the show notes or on a download and attach it to this because we have some good starters for you all on how you could lead a brainstorm and have 5 to 8 questions under each stage of the buyer's journey.
Yeah. Cause if you're going to bring sales into a room and have a brainstorm, it better be a good one because
you got to be planned.
Cause I've seen some brainstorms that don't go so well. You know,
I love doing brainstorms with sales teams. I think it is so much fun.
Okay. Noted.
Or hire us. Either use our download or hire us to it. Okay. Question answer.
Use our download or hire us. Those are your options. There you go. All right. So the next question is, it's often difficult to bridge the gap between marketing content and what the sales team actually needs. How would you recommend improving this? So I think, and I'll start with this answer. I think that the mistake here is thinking that marketing content and sales content are different things.
Yes.
think we need to start thinking of those as one and the same. Yes. Every single blog post that you put out, every single one sheet, every single ebook, every single webinar, every single everything, podcast episode, whatever it is that you're putting out, it should be used in marketing. We should be promoting it. We should be using it in marketing. And we should be encouraging sales to use it too. They should be, I mean, thinking.
And teaching them. Don't you feel like the misconception on sales enablement is that it's sales enablement content? It is pieces of paper that are made for sales, but that's really not all it is. It's teaching sales how to use content in their sales process, teaching sales how, like, giving them a process on how to use marketing content, because a blog post can be sales enablement if you show sales how to share it or how to add their thought leadership, how to ask the right questions around it, you know, enabling them.
You enable sales.
So it's not just sales enablement is what a type of content. It's a pathway.
Yes. Anything can be sales enablement. Your CRM is sales enablement. That right there. Sales enablement. I mean, I totally agree. And I think that that is, you know, sales can sit there sometimes and wait for these things to like fall into their hands for that one case study that you, you know, have been saying you're going to get to them for the last year and you still haven't done it. Like, oh, I haven't used content because I don't have that one case study. Well, you know, buckle up, go to the websites, look at all the things, start sending it. Because, you know, that's another thing that we teach on a lot is, if you're going to send an email, just checking in, just following up, just wanted to circle back with you, and you don't have any kind of like link or
you're getting deleted. It doesn't matter what you write. If your subject line is just checking in, they're not going to
swing it back around.
Who's excited to open an email with that as a subject line? Nobody. That's not helpful.
It's true. And it's a good follow-up, right? Like you send a proposal, you go do whatever, you have a first meeting, whatever it is that your sales team does. And then the next step is get back to your desk, thank them for their time and send them an email.
Educate them.
Send them a blog.
Your sales process. Send them something else to help them learn.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, even just saying, you know, I loved our conversation today. I really enjoyed getting to know you. You mentioned you were interested in X, Y, and Z. We have this blog post right here. I wanted to send it over. I'm going to get your proposal ready. I'll send it to you, but I just wanted you to have it. Like, you know, very casual, but that sets your sellers apart from other sellers. So I think that's what I would say. Sales and marketing are no different. All sales, all marketing content is sales enablement. Boom.
So true. Good. That was a good question and good answer. Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for y'all. Listening.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody for listening. Fun to chat with you, my friend.
It is.
And, be sure to visit our website or reach out if you have any questions and submit questions for our future episodes.
Submit questions. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.